Okay, so this is Ann Weiser Cornell, and welcome to this phone seminar on focusing and physical pain and symptoms. And if you're hearing beeps, that's because people are arriving, and every time someone arrives, we hear a beep. If you hear an echo, there's something I can do about that, so hold on a moment.
The conference is in lecture mode.
All right. So for a little while, we're in what's called lecture mode, which means that I can, you can hear me, but I can't hear you, and that will give us a clearer line, because I think we have a lot of people here. Let me just check how many.
There are currently 62 participants in your conference.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we have 62 people on the line, so no wonder there's a bit of a crowded feeling, but let's make sure we make a really big space for this many people, and welcome. As we hear more beeps, that means more people are arriving. Welcome. Pull over a chair. Have a seat. This is a phone seminar on focusing and physical pain and symptoms. Many people on the call know what focusing is, have maybe worked with focusing before, and there's many other people who are tuning in to find out more about what focusing is and its special applications to pain and physical symptoms. There may be some of you who are dealing with chronic pain, for whom pain is a serious issue from day to day. There may be other people here who are health workers or therapists who work with other people who are in pain. And we are going to say some things we hope will be of interest to all of you. There may be others of you who, bless you, are not in physical pain right now. I'm one of those people, and I'm grateful for that. But I do have some interesting stories to tell about focusing with the pain of injury and what that can tell us about awareness and the power of awareness for healing. Focusing is a process of sensing, a process of awareness. And my name is Ann Weiser Cornell. I've been working with focusing. I learned it myself 35 years ago from the man who developed it, a man named Eugene Gendlin. He's still alive at age 80 and happily thinking and working still. And his wonderful book, Focusing, still in print, still available. And he has many devoted fans and students all over the world, and I'm very much one of those devoted fans and students. So my life's work has been about bringing focusing to more people, carrying that skill. I've had the pleasure of teaching focusing now in 18 different countries, in 5 continents, and we find that focusing is most typically used for understanding and bringing forward movement into, you could call it emotional pain, areas of emotional blockage. I'm famous for my work with focusing and action blocks, when we're procrastinating, when we don't seem to be able to move forward in life. This call is about focusing in pain, focusing in physical symptoms. It's an area of curiosity. People may be wondering how to use focusing, how to use this quality of inner awareness to bring some kind of relief or shift or understanding in the areas of physical pain and symptoms. So welcome to this call if you're just arriving. I'm going to, I can't hear you right now. We're on what's called lecture mode, which gives us a nice clear line. There'll be a time a little later when I open up the line, and I'll be very interested in your questions and your comments after I tell some stories about my own experiences with pain. I'd like to hear some things about you and what you're facing. Maybe you have some stories too. And we'll then do an exercise in which we'll explore some of the ways of using focusing to work with these interesting situations. As I say, I first learned focusing 35 years ago, and I was 22 years old. I was a graduate student in linguistics at the University of Chicago. It was all very new to me to do any inner sensing at all, either emotionally or physically. I came from a family where the message seemed to be, you know, as long as you can ignore anything that you're feeling, you really should ignore it, you know. Cheer up, don't bother me, and if you can ignore it, then you should ignore it, and when you can't ignore it anymore, we'll take you to the doctor and give you a shot. So that was the family background I came from, and as you might imagine, by the time I was 22, my life was in a lot of emotional turmoil and upset, and I really didn't have any tools for dealing with that. I didn't have any way of getting to know myself or introspecting or understanding what I was going through. And when I met the focusing process, I learned that I could listen within myself. I could find out how I was really feeling, and I could be gentle and accepting and curious toward my own felt experience, toward my own emotional experience. So focusing helped me do that, and very early on I had the idea that maybe focusing could also help with experiences of physical pain. And I have a very clear memory of visiting my grandmother, taking a shower, and in this unfamiliar bathroom, banging against a towel rack and knocking it off of its moorings and it falling on my foot. And the pain of that, and the idea coming into my head, oh, now I know focusing, what I should do is just bring awareness to this pain and sense it right now. And then the very clear experience of something in me saying, oh no, that will make it worse. And not just that it would make it hurt more, but it completely illogically, really feeling something in me saying to me, you'll break your foot. I had this wild idea, I really did, that if I stopped and just felt the pain in my foot, I would somehow actually break it. Not just make it feel worse, but make it worse, make it more of an injury than it was. So that was very interesting to notice, this very automatic tendency or pattern inside me to move away from the felt experience of pain. That the impulse to move toward the pain and just sense it directly, countered by another part of me saying, just, you know, that's dangerous. That it's not, the injury isn't over. It's actually dangerous to go and feel how it feels. So over the years, more and more practice with focusing, lots more practice using the gentle sensing of focusing with emotional issues. And finally, you know, over those years, coming to enough of a depth of the process that I felt I could just bring awareness directly to an injury when it happened. And I got in the habit. I remember once going on a hike with a friend, and we had to open a gate in a field, and my finger getting pinched as we opened this gate. And, you know, a sharp pain, certainly not something I would call an injury, but a temporary sharp pain. And instead of, you know, rubbing my finger and shaking it and just kind of ignoring it and saying, okay, fine, really deliberately pausing and saying to my friend, I need a minute, I need a moment, please, and closing my eyes and bringing awareness into the sense of it, and directly bringing awareness to the finger and to the sense of it as I was feeling it at that moment. Sensing the quality that it was feeling like at that moment. Letting go of any words like pain. And no longer feeling afraid that doing that would cause some kind of greater hurt. And that in about a minute, that pain would completely pass away, and we would walk. I would open my eyes, and we would walk on. And there would be no need to endure 5 or 10 more minutes of some kind of subtle sensation in my finger. It was gone, and that I had this experience over and over again with these minor injuries. That if I immediately brought awareness to it. Fearlessly, or without judgment, or without agenda, if I could bring a quality of awareness to what might be called pain, that a quality of awareness that was not withdrawing in any way, that simply went to the place and sensed it directly at that moment. If I could do that, that whether it was, you know, standing up quickly and banging my head on a cabinet, or while walking, twisting my ankle a little, no matter what it was, if I could do that, it was a more intense experience at first, and that then the pain would pass away and not return. And I finally put this to a stronger test this last year in two incidents. I'm going to tell you about one of them because they're both really very similar, where there was really more of an injury, not just something like a bump while walking. I'll tell you about the time I was in Japan. last November, and staying at a Buddhist monastery in a room of my own with a teapot that was always boiling water in an automatic electric teapot that was boiling water, realized after I'd turned out the light at night, late at night, that the boiling was still going. And I was going to keep me awake all night. So wanting to just crawl over there in the dark, which maybe wasn't a very smart idea, but it's what I did, and kind of grope for the on-off switch. And while doing that, the thing, I had my arm right above it as it let off a spray of boiling steam. And so it was a burn. And still in the dark, I got myself over to the sink in the room and ran cold water on it. And then I lay down. And in the bed, I simply brought awareness to the sensation. And what I can relate to you is that I had a kind of enjoyment or joy in simply bringing awareness to the sensation that was there. It felt like a kind of homecoming, a kind of rest, a kind of satisfying contact, as if something in me was so glad to be in that quality of contact with the feeling itself directly. And I sensed it freshly, sensed words for what I was feeling, words that came from the sensation and not from my thoughts or my head. I remember one of the words was sizzling. And within about 20 minutes, I had fallen asleep. And the next morning, I woke up pain-free at that place. And over the next days and weeks, it formed an enormous blister filled with fluid. A few days later, as I was looking at it and wondering what it needed, I got a sense that it really wanted a nice, big bandage. It was a big enough site on my arm that it really an ordinary size bandage wouldn't work, so my friends took me to a drugstore and helped me buy a nice big cloth bandage and enough of them that I could change it regularly, and It never, within a couple of weeks, the fluid drained out and the upper layer of skin naturally fell away, leaving a kind of bright pink new skin underneath. Never hurt again after that first 20 minutes that night. It was something I realized that I never experienced when I was growing up and first however many years of my life, that something would continue to be an injury that was healing and yet that there would be no pain. And I had a chance to kind of confirm this a few weeks ago when I cut my finger on a piece of crockery didn't do this. It wasn't as severe an injury. It was just a little cut. And I was in a hurry, and I didn't do this pausing and sensing that I've been describing. And that cut did hurt, not very much, because it never hurt very much, but it did hurt for quite a long time until the finger was actually healed. So this has been my experience, and I must say, you know, I don't know personally about chronic pain. But here's what I feel like I know from my work with others as well as my work with myself, that with pain, the feeling of the pain itself is something to bring attention to, and that we even want to let go of the label, the word pain, and approach the sensation with no labels, with no assumptions, just freshly sensing what it feels like. Then we may realize when we try doing that, that that's difficult, that there's something in us that's scared of what this means, whether it's going to get worse, what we ought to do about it, and that in us that feels scared and worried also needs to be acknowledged. It also needs company. That it's important not to be identified with the part of us that's scared. It's important to find again a quality that I like to call presence, which is that ability to be with all the aspects of what we're feeling, both the felt quality itself, in this case a physical quality, and also feelings about that feeling, fear about it, worry about it, anxiety about it, to really acknowledge both without getting caught up in either. And that even physical symptoms, like the symptoms of a cold, can be approached this way. And also, remarkably, don't take the course we might expect them to if we can approach them this way. There are no guarantees. And I also have profound respect for those people who have suffered for many years with chronic pain, not to give some glib answer like this will be easy and you should have done it. I can't possibly say that. I don't know that. I know that there's nothing certain about this kind of work with pain. Just that when we approach our felt experience freshly without assumptions and describe it without labels, that's true either of physical pain and symptoms or of emotional experiences. Something fresh and new can happen when we go through that process of letting go of labels, letting go of categories, letting go of assumptions, and coming into a kind of direct and fresh experience. I'm going to open up and see what questions you have. Just a moment.
There are currently 78 participants in your conference. The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
So, welcome everybody. Now, just to say again that you can mute yourself by pressing the star key, that's on the lower left of your keypad on your telephone, and then star 6. So if you press star 6, then you've muted yourself.
Anne?
And I hear you. Hello.
This is Mickey.
Hi, Mickey.
I'm wondering, in your experiencing, first of all, I love the clarity of your presentation. It meets my need for simplicity and understanding. I wonder if you have my experience, and I wonder if you have had other people have this experience, that in some instances when I try and bring my awareness to a certain area in my body, my awareness kind of jumps. It can't stay present in that area of my body. Do you have any experience of that or any thoughts of that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it reminds me, in a way, of what happened to me in my grandmother's shower. I wanted to go to bring my awareness to my foot, but my awareness jumped away.
Right.
Saying, oh, no, it's dangerous to go there.
Exactly.
So then that's what you acknowledge.
That.
I'm sorry?
Right. I have that.
Yeah. So we acknowledge that, and I would phrase it this way.
I'm sorry, there's an echo.
There is an echo. Okay. Let me just speak. I'll go back to lecture mode.
Okay.
The conference is in lecture mode.
So Mickey's question, what about when we try to bring awareness to something in our body, and then there's a feeling of leaving it, of bouncing away or jumping away. And so my suggestion is, first of all, that we practice the wonderful, magical phrase, something in me. I'm a big fan of facilitative language. I believe that forms of language can help remind us of certain attitudes and relationships with ourselves that can be very facilitative. And so these magic words, something in me, and I would say about this one, something in me is wanting to jump away, or whatever words fit. Something in me is wanting to go away, something in me is pulling me away, or something in me is not wanting me to feel that. And that becomes an acknowledgement without identifying. Okay, something in me is not wanting me to feel that. And I think in any situation where there's something you would call pain, surely there will be something in you not wanting you to feel that. You know, my state in that Buddhist monastery in Japan was the result of two factors. One, many, many years of focusing, many, many years of coming to have faith in the power of simple awareness so that I didn't have an urge to leave. Two, I think it was very facilitative for me that it was an injury that had just happened and I knew there was nothing more I could physically do for it than to run cold water on it. There was nothing in me worried about what had caused the pain or what I had to do about it. So my mind could be at peace. And because of that, I was able to bring a simple awareness to it with no leaving. But for very, very often, for very many reasons, when we have pain, we also have something in us that doesn't want us to feel it, that wants to leave, that wants to pull awareness away. And then we must acknowledge that. Because it doesn't do any good to fight ourselves. It doesn't do any good to have an inner struggle and say, no, I'm pulling my awareness back again. Do you know? We have to say, yeah. So I'm acknowledging there's also something in me that doesn't want me to feel that, that wants to pull away. And that acknowledgement then can be something also to sense into, to feel into. Like I feel the quality of the pulling away. I feel the quality of the panic, perhaps, that part of me is feeling, as it just doesn't want me to feel that pain. Coming back again, and if you're not wanting to ask a question, and be sure that you're on mute. If you've already pressed star 6, that's fine, but you may, if you have not pressed star 6, you may need to press it to put yourself on mute. That will reduce the line noise for the people who are wanting to speak. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, if you're on mute, then the same way star 6 also brings you off mute so that you can ask a question. So here we go.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Who would like to make a comment? Or
yes, this is Carol from Iowa.
Go ahead, Carol.
I work for hospice, and I'd like to use this with my patients, with some of them, but they haven't been doing focusing or anything like it. And I don't know what's a good way to introduce it or make it more accessible for somebody who hasn't already been focusing.
Okay. I'm going to give you my answer in lecture mode. Hold on a second.
The conference is in lecture mode.
So, Carol, that's a wonderful question, and I'm sure that other people are in a similar situation to you. And what it makes me think of, among other things, is a lovely colleague of mine named Catherine Dever, a focusing teacher and registered nurse, who taught me some things that she uses in that sort of situation. And the first thing is an invitation to be kind to the place in you that's hurting. Be kind. See if you can be kind to the hurting place. And it's really kind of sad how often we blame our body for the pain. We say things like, my knee is hurting me. And the truth is, it isn't your knee that's hurting you. Something else, something's hurting your knee as well as hurting you. So the idea that the knee is to blame, do you see how easily that becomes a rejection of our body itself? And this was discovered when people did focus research with focusing with cancer, that people had tended to cut off the part of their body that had the cancer. Like, I don't like my womb, or I don't like my liver. It hurts me. And instead, what a wonderful gift it is just to say to somebody, see if you could be nice to your knee. And be nice to the pain in your knee, and be gentle with that. So how do we help people be gentle if that's a hard concept for them? Well, one thing Catherine had people do was to take cotton, like cotton balls, and a little bit of water, and she would ask them to form the cotton into the shape of the pain. See, what's nice about this is it does invite people to sense what the pain feels like, and it gives them kind of an active way to do that. So a couple of cotton balls and a little bit of water, and maybe you could just show me what the pain is like what it feels like or what its shape is. Just make this cotton into the shape of the pain. And then once people had done that, she'd have them take that little sculpture, that little cotton sculpture of the pain, and just rest it gently on the place in the body that's feeling that pain. So it's like coming to meet the place of pain with what's a kind of mirror reflection or listening to it. And often people would find that there would be some relief, sometimes quite a lot of relief, as the matching or the mirroring or the empathy that they'd made through this little sculpture was coming and meeting the place in the body that was in pain. So those are a couple of possibilities for people. If you're working with people who may be quite ill, who may be suffering, first is, let's see what it would take to be kind to that place. And after being kind to it, maybe asking, maybe it would like to tell you its story. So these are forms of language that people probably will relate to. Maybe it would like to tell you its story, and you could just listen to it. Like you could listen to it as if it were a child telling you a story. And a couple more ideas about that. Thank you so much for that question. I'm coming back. Let's see if there's another question.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Yes.
And I have a question.
And what's your name?
My name is Meryl.
Okay, Meryl.
When I get migraines, which are usually emotionally caused, I've never actually tried focusing on the migraines.
Uh-huh.
When I start to go there, I'll cry. I'll start to cry.
Yeah.
Which I think is some type of barrier to the, you know, keeping myself from finding out, going any farther.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, if I'm in grief or something, it stops.
Yes.
Stops me from going there.
Yeah. So you're wondering if I'm, is there more to your question?
Well, I'm wondering if, how one can go past the crying and grief and listen gently, kindly, when there's, you know, maybe more, feels like it's very distracting. I mean, I don't notice that it's distracting, but I assume it's quite a big...
I'm sure your instinct is right about that. It sounds like you have a feeling of the crying. Probably being... Oh, let me go offline.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Meryl, it sounds like you have a feeling of the crying being a way of not having to sense even deeper or something that's under that. And we won't know for sure until you spend more time with it, but your guess may well be right. So here's what I'd suggest, and remember our magical phrase, something in me, that you... start by acknowledging. We have to always acknowledge what is here, what is in front of us. And this work with focusing is very much a work of acceptance. Name of my second book is The Radical Acceptance of Everything. And acceptance alone brings a great deal of relief. So often we're struggling with what we feel, either emotionally or physically. And so when we can turn to what we feel and just say, yes, you're there, and this is exactly how you are. There's a quality of acceptance that comes there. If it's hard to accept what we're feeling, then that itself, the being hard to accept, becomes something to accept. So we can say, something in me finds it hard to accept this. And I'm just acknowledging that. So in the case of something like this crying that we can feel seems to be in the way of touching in on something deeper, we start with an acknowledging of that. So I'm acknowledging something in me crying, something in me that seems to be feeling something like grief. Maybe I'll take a little longer with it just to sense if the word grief fits what it's feeling, taking time to be with what presents itself. And after some minutes of that, just offering a kind of invitation that in addition to sensing that, there may be also a sensing that there's something under it. The image that comes to me that you might even want to try yourself is of putting one hand on the chest and one hand on the stomach. And this would vary, of course, depending on where in your body these experiences seem to come. But just emotionally, this is what's coming for me now, that the crying place, one hand goes there and spends time really acknowledging and being with it, respecting it, accepting it. And then after a little time of that, it's like there's another hand that can go a little below that, and really with the two hands, and see, isn't it wonderful that we have two hands, most of us? The two hands are saying, yes, both are here. There is this crying, and there's something deeper. And the word and is another magical word, I feel. A very facilitative word for acceptance and being with what is so. When we say, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling this. And that somewhere inside you, your inner places had thought this was an either-or situation. I can feel this or this. I'm going to feel this instead of that. And so there's this whole inner shift that happens when you can say, I feel this and I feel this. You may not even know yet what the deeper feeling is. So I would say it this way. So I'm feeling this crying grief, and I'm sensing there's something deeper. And there's our word something again, helping us to acknowledge the existence of an experience that we might not quite feel yet, but the intuition tells us that it's there, and so we hold a space for it by saying, and I'm feeling there's something here. And that's how I would do that. And I would also say, you know, it's wonderful to focus with a partner, with someone else who can hold the space with you and be calm and give you their presence. And many of us who teach focusing with a partner. Because when you're facing something difficult and migraines are difficult. So are other kinds of deep emotional pain. It really is helpful to have another person there if you can. Great. I'm going to come back and open up for another question.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Who has a question?
Hi,
say your name.
Hi,
say your name. Okay, Margaret.
I was wondering, in terms of crying, I wondered if you could say that the role of crying could kind of be a surrender, because it can help us be free from fixed mind. You know, we often say our mind clears, so we can be open to a more expanded view of the situation.
Well, you know, I think that crying can be different for different people.
Yeah.
And so we have to just respect each person's, we have to respect each person's sense of what that is for them at that moment.
Yes.
Thank you. Someone else, a question, a comment?
Hello, Karen. This is Karen.
Go ahead, Karen.
Karen, this is Karen. And thank you for answering. How does something called the law of attraction fit with focusing? If you focus on something in your body, as you've done so beautifully, and I'd like to do, is that not attracting the same problem to us over and over again?
Mm-hmm. Let me answer that.
The conference is in lecture mode.
What I have experienced in the last 35 years with focusing is that by bringing awareness to what is true, to what is so, at the felt sense level, then I find in that there is always fresh life forward movement. That we get stuck because we're not actually letting ourselves sense what is here now. We get stuck in concepts. We get stuck in stories. And the stories repeat over and over, and they really don't have a way through. So our stories and beliefs, I'm a failure, I'll never have more money than I do now, those kinds of stories don't have that fresh forward life movement in them. And the body is always available to give a felt sense which sums up the whole of the situation we're facing from a new perspective. And that new perspective always has in it the healing forward movement. So no wonder I felt so good in that Buddhist monastery in Japan when I brought awareness to the burn. There was a profound satisfaction because I was keeping my body company in the healing process that it was already engaged in. I was feeling my profound faith in the healing process. And there was nothing in that that was an invitation to be burned again. Instead, I was keeping company with the truth, the reality, the satisfaction of being with what is so below concepts and beyond concepts. It's been my experience over the past 35 years that it's this whole body wisdom that contains the forward movement of our life. That when we leave that body and go into thoughts that are divorced from body about what should be true instead of what is true, that way lies stuckness. That way lies repetition of old patterns and frustrations. It's when we bring awareness to what is so freshly in this moment that we are joining not old pain, but the healing of pain and the sense of the whole body's healing into fresh movement. The deep, profound knowing and wisdom that's found in every cell of our body of how our own unique life force goes forward is something that can be trusted. And as we surrender into trust of that, it carries us forward. And there's a felt experience of a profound rest into that. Why don't I invite you all to join me in an exercise that will be experiential, that will let us all, I hope, experience some of that life force and that trust that I'm talking about right now. So you're settling into your body, and maybe each of you taking a little time to get comfortable where you're sitting, maybe to set down your notebook for a moment, if you've been taking notes, maybe to take some deep breaths and begin sensing more and more into the present body felt experience at this moment. Letting your breath deepen, letting your awareness deepen, letting yourself sense how your body is right now. And letting yourself feel the support as you sit, as you rest into what you're sitting on. You could even be a little heavier, it would still support you. So feeling that support. And feeling how as you breathe, there's a spaciousness inside you that has a welcome in it. And especially in that inner area of throat and chest and stomach and belly, just feeling the quality of welcome there. And just chill for a little while with the possibility that in what is so, what is really true for you right now, there is your life forward movement. There is a knowing of your next steps. So as you bring awareness to your body, just inviting a sense of what's calling you, what seems to want your attention. And that may be something that might be called a pain, but just let it be called a sensation right now. Noticing where in your body there may be a sensation that seems to be wanting your attention at this moment. So we're letting go of all the words we ever used to describe that sensation. Maybe it's something you've often felt. You might usually call it my backache or something chronic. Whatever you've usually called it in the past, just letting that go. Considering the possibility of encountering freshly in this moment what it feels like as if you'd never felt it before. And if there's something in you that pulls you away from that sensation, if there's something in you that says, no, don't go there, don't feel that, acknowledging that as well. Saying hello. Hello to something in me that's afraid of feeling that, worried of feeling that, worried what it means or whether it will get worse. Hello. And noticing what happens in your body when you just acknowledge whatever wants to pull you away from being with what's here. Resting into the support, feeling your foundation as you rest into what you're sitting on, bringing awareness again to that sensation that called you. Noticing if it's glad that you're with it, if there's a sense of it, the sensation itself, really wanting to have your company, welcoming the contact of your awareness as it might welcome a gentle touch. And if it's possible to be gentle with the touch of your awareness, to gently sense what that feels like, describing it freshly as if you'd never described it before. Letting yourself use metaphors, symbols, what it feels like, and get as precise and exact as possible. So if it feels like a finger being caught in a vise that's tightening, well then that's what it feels like. The truth is friendly. The truth brings relief. So just what it feels like right now is what we want to describe with our metaphor. And then offering that to it. And sensing. Sensing if that fits exactly or if that's partly right, but there's more. Letting your metaphor change if it needs to match even more exactly what this feels like. Then noticing if you have a sense of it feeling some emotion. That's It's not the same as an emotion another part of you might feel about it, like fear or worry. It's more an empathy for the sensation itself if it feels some emotion. Maybe it's angry or irritated. Maybe it's worried or scared. Maybe it's lonely. Maybe it's shouting. Maybe there's something it's been wanting you to know, that it's been trying to get your attention to tell you. So maybe it's frustrated. See if you have a sense of how it's feeling from its own point of view. And when you do begin to sense how it might be feeling, let it know you hear it. Just let it know you hear that's how it's feeling. And you may also want to let it know that you hear what it's been trying to tell you. Pain is a communication. There is at least a possibility that when that communication is really received, that it won't need to keep shouting. I really hear you. I really sense. That's how you feel. You hurt. Yeah, or whatever. Really hearing what it has been trying to communicate to you. And then noticing again if you feel a change in the feeling itself. Noticing also if you feel some kind of change in the comfort and ease of your whole body. Bringing now this exercise to a gentle completion. Taking a little time to sense if there's something more it wants you to know before we stop. And then notice if you'd like to thank and appreciate your body. Your wise, brilliant, alive, always healing body. Doing its very best for you. Thanking and appreciating your body. And then letting awareness expand to include the room around you, the sounds outside you, opening your eyes and having a look around. Maybe you'd like to pick up your notebook again and make a few notes on what came, or draw a sketch of any images or symbols that came for you. In the 5 minutes we have left, I'm going to come back again and see if people have something you'd like to share or another question you have. Here we go.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Hi. Does someone have a question?
I'm wondering, was this recording going to be available?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the recording will be available.
Will it be on your website?
Yeah. If you go tomorrow to the website, to the same page that lists all the free calls, the way to listen to this one will be there. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, because your understanding and approach is very healing for me. So
oh, I'm so glad to hear it. That really feels good.
Anne?
Yes.
Do we have time for a question?
Yes, please go ahead.
This is Joanne.
Go ahead, Joanne.
I noticed something in this exercise that I've noticed before, which is often when I sit down, I have some sort of major agitation going on, usually in the midline of my body, and it's like, you know, oh my God, how am I going to get this to calm down? Then when I begin to get in touch with the part of me, as you've talked about, that doesn't want to accept this or doesn't want to look at it, doesn't want to be with it, and I begin to say hello to that part that doesn't want to be with it, not only within a few seconds does the part that doesn't want to be with it calm down, but literally the part that was so agitated that seemed like the main character here disappears.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to think almost, I'm wondering if you could just speak a little bit about, I feel almost that sometimes the resistance to, I'm having a hard time distinguishing between the thing itself and the resistance, since when I deal with the resistance, the thing itself seems to disappear.
Well, you know, I really believe that our inner world is whole. We are whole. And we can speak as if we have parts. We have this part and that part, and that can be very helpful because we need to at some time separate and acknowledge both a feeling and a feeling about the feeling. But the truth is everything in us is connected to everything else. And do you know how in modern physics they say you really can't, the observer always affects what's observed? Well, obviously that's true in our human world as well. You can't be with yourself in a certain way without those reverberations affecting every aspect of yourself. So we'll just accept that, isn't that great? That no matter what, whenever we bring gentleness to any part of ourselves, all of us gets included. And that's just so lovely that that's true. Someone else has a question?
And
one more before we go, yeah.
This is Jackie in Los Angeles.
Hi, Jackie, go ahead.
I suffer a lot with tense body, especially on my left side, and it feels like I've just been scalded very often.
Yeah, wow.
What I came to in this experience is exactly what your last caller said. I experience the pain because I hold off the feeling. I tense my body to avoid the feeling.
The pain is the tensing of the avoiding of the feeling, yeah. And when you don't tense, maybe there's no pain.
No pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You know, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. You wouldn't have had any reason to believe me.
Right.
But you actually had the experience of it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And the weepy feeling of being grateful to my body for taking care of me in spite of what I do.
Exactly. Our wonderful bodies, we have so much cause to be grateful for them. It would be a pity if we were ever angry at our bodies. They're not trying to hurt us. Not ever. Not ever. Well, thanks to everybody. We're completing for the day. Listen, I'm happy to respond if you want to send me questions by emails. If you're on my website and you feel like signing up for my weekly tips email, you may get the answers to some of these questions in there. And thanks, everybody, for making this a lovely call. Thank you so much
you.
For coming. Bye. Bye, everybody.